From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows. Hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me this week is no one. I am writing solo. No big deal. Well, during quarantine, it's a little rougher to get people on, and Panic's just really busy dealing with WJOB stuff and trying to keep up to date on the day job of reporting all of the updated COVID-19 things to the masses, and that's okay. I can handle the show on my own. If this is your first time ever listening to Bob After Dark, it's a show about legends, lore, and the supernatural. We talk about anything from things that go bump in the night to cryptids in the woods. We also cover spooky, weird, and strange news stories of the week, covering from anything of high strangeness, sightings, weird advances in science, and other strange forms of weird in the world. If this is your first time ever listening to us in podcast land, make sure you jump on over to the Apple Podcasts and leave us a nice 5-star review. Make yourself known who you are. And make sure that the comment says something really cool, because I go through and I read them all, and when I see a really good one, which is all my 5 stars, I always make sure I give good shout-outs. So if you guys can, make sure you guys review, because that helps get the show spread a little bit more, and it helps out get me to where I need to be. So without further ado, folks, let's dive right into the spooky news of the week. And I just want to give a quick shout out to Becky for being able to give me a couple of these stories this week. She was very nice and dug up some cool information for me, so thank you. The first news story comes to us from south of the border in Mexico. Now, before I begin, I just want to point out that I don't speak Spanish, so my hablo español is no bueno. The first story is a Mexican werewolf sighting. Residents of the Mexican state known as Chiapas, that's Chiapas, have had reported sightings of a large bipedal wolf creature that stands anywhere from 2 to 3 meters tall on its hind legs, and that's what bipedal means for our little beginner ghoul scouts out there learning their cryptozoology. They could walk up on their hind legs. And they've seen it hopping from house to house, from rooftop to rooftop. And they even found a claw marks dug into pavement that were pretty deep, so it had to have been very strong. Religious folks and religious leaders of that area are claiming it to be some sort of message from God, while other people are saying that it needs to be hunted down before it causes any harm. And the cryptozoologist in me is like, wow, it's definitely a dog man. It's very similar to the stories that we hear from Michigan or in Wisconsin on Bray Road. I know we haven't really covered the dog man on the show yet. We're totally going to get there. But it's very fascinating to find a story that far south. Especially in that neck of the area, it seems to be more deserty. And every story and every encounter of Dogman I find, even when you're out, like I said, Wisconsin and on Bray Road, that's a lot of woods and foresty areas, a lot of places for coverage, and just general not what I was thinking when you think of sightings. So when I think of Mexican cryptids, I think of the chupacabra comes to mind. Smaller, more reptilian, not this big wolf creature. So maybe they're migrating. Maybe it was just a wrong place, wrong time. I'm not too sure what to think about this one. Either way, it's very fascinating, and I'm going to keep an eye out for updates. This next story comes to us from Scotland, and I want to give a quick shout out to my producer, Count Panic, for he is a major fan of this next creature, and she is one of the most popular cryptids in the world. I would argue probably the second most popular cryptid behind Bigfoot, and that is the Loch Ness Monster, or Nessie. I also learned during this note taking that there is a group of people who call themselves the Nessie Watchers, which they're a group of people that hang out around the loch. They picnic around that area. They sit around and they stare at it. They take pictures. They take video and they share it between themselves and trying to find the most clear, focused one. And it seems like a really cool community. And one of the oldest members of that community is Eoin O'Fagadin, which is E-O-I-N. And that is as traditional Scottish as you could probably find. So excuse me for my butchering of the enunciation of his name. But he got a video and of Nessie recently, and he said this is only the second time in 3 months that he has been able to find her, and it's only the second time that the Nessie Watchers have had a sighting of her in 2020 so far. And he first quotes it as she put herself under quarantine, which I got a little bit of a giggle from, because we're all living in that time right now, and I just kind of got some sort of chuckle of Nessie popping up out of the loch holding a sign, "We're in this together," and the Loch Ness Monster has a little face mask on and everything. But he proposes a really interesting question. He said, is it possible that the Loch Ness Monster has some sort of intelligence knowing what is going on in the world today? And I don't know. It's very interesting thought, and knowing that it's very possible that what what's going on in the world, maybe these things, these cryptids and higher forms of essence, just knows what's going on. I mean, if you look at the story of the Mothman, apparently that knew what was going on before it happened. So maybe Nessie just knows, and maybe that's why the Dogman went south, because there's not a whole lot of cases going on down there. I don't know. I'm just speculating. And speaking of cryptids being on the intelligence side, my third story comes to us from a former baseball player by the name of Jose Canseco, and he used to apparently play for the Oakland A's. I am not a sports ball fan. I'm just going to be completely honest. The little bit I know is from me asking a ton of questions or just kind of hanging around the right people. So I just want to give a quick shout out to my dad for telling me who Jose Canseco was, because the only thing I remember him from was The Surreal Life, which was a little reality show on VH1 once upon a time ago. But anyway, during Jose's run in the baseball world, he came out as being a proclaimed believer in both aliens and Bigfoot. And Jose said he'd be willing to pump money into research into the coronavirus and how it affects cryptid sightings and extraterrestrial sightings and as such. He believes that these extraterrestrials and Bigfoot and other cryptids have the answer to what could be the COVID-19 cure, or at least a better way of preventing it than what we have. Which, I guess if you buy into it, it makes sense. If these things are otherworldly or other dimensional or higher being, whatever you would like to call them, I mean, it's very possible that they're just very much immune to the whole thing, and maybe they just can't catch it. I mean, if you look at the domesticated animals that we know of, dogs can't catch it, but we found out that cats can, unfortunately. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's something about cryptids that can't catch it. I'm just reporting on what he says. It's interesting nonetheless. Before we continue on to the lore of the week, I just wanted to share a really cool, exciting bit of information that is sort of just now breaking, and that is on May 8th at 8 p.m., Bob After Dark and Ghostly Podcast are going to be hosting the Chicago Paranormal Virtual Panel. And what it is we're going to be talking about famous Chicagoland paranormal sightings and the history of Chicago haunting. And with us, we actually have a very special guest that we're going to be announcing on Facebook. I will give you a hint. She is the queen of the Chicago paranormal scene. So we'll be announcing that 100% in the next coming days. So stick around on Facebook for that. Joining me for that episode, I will say, and I'll announce this now, Steve's actually going to be joining us on the 8th on the live panel. That's going to be streaming straight to YouTube Live, so you guys can check that out. Also, before we dive into the lore of the week, I'm just going to take a quick little pause here, guys. I'm going to take a water break. Want you to stick around and hear some messages from a fellow podcast.
This is Mike.
This is Jacob.
And this is Matt.
We are Moth Boys,
a podcast on cryptids, conspiracies, and the unknown. You can catch us every other Monday on, actually, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thank you.
And we're back. What'd you guys do during that break other than listen to the message? Did you read a book? Grab some water? I know I did. But let's dive right into the lore of the week. And this week I wanted to talk a little bit about the Boo Hag. And I just want to give a quick shout out to a couple fans, Kyle and Kat, who actually were really cool and shared with me a infographic that had really cool bits of lore from all the states. And it's the same infographic I got the information of the California Dark Watchers from. And the other one in that infographic that I didn't really know too much about. And this one, I would say, probably frightened me the most. And I had no idea leading up to this point what exactly it was the Boo Hag. So sit back and enjoy the strange tale of the African vampire. In the southern states of Georgia, Florida, and South Carolina, there exists a cultural subgroup of an enclave of African Americans known as the Gullah. They have their own lore, legends, and bits of culture. One of these bits of lore come from the idea of a creature known as the Boo Hag. The Boo Hag are similar to vampires, however, with varying differences to the traditional bits of lore on vampires. And these bits of differences are pretty extremely scary. A Boo Hag, also known as a witch gone bad, but that description of them makes them more sound like our old friends the Skinwalkers. What a quick recap of what a Skinwalker is in the southwest area of America, New Mexico, Arizona, there are these creatures, these former tribesmen, that would kill a sibling and wear their skin, and they were able to become the bad guys of the tribe, more or less, the boogeyman, the villain. And they are known in a lot of native circles as the Big Bad. But are they still a witch? I guess in my opinion, once a witch, always a witch. Just in this case, they now have a new specialty in their newfound ability. I digress. I'm not going to consider a Boo Hag a witch, but we'll get to that later. The Boo Hag has been told to have different varying forms of lore. The first is that they can go out and wear the skin of a prior victim to seduce a man throughout the evening, draining enough life and to bring their guard down to be able to suck blood from their noses, which is horrifyingly disgusting. The idea of them being able to change skins before they feed sounds awfully familiar to something, right? But however, get back to that a little later. The other bit outside of the concept of seduction is the idea that they just go out completely in anarchy. The Boo Hag will sneak out into the night, going skinless to hunt down her prey. as they draw similarities from skinwalkers, they also draw similarities to the Fae. In the simple idea is that they are compelled to count. Such as the Fae count salt grains, it is said that the Boohag will count every strand of hay on a broom. This is one way toward your home from a Boohag. Because in a twist turn of events, a Boohag can just sneak in through your home, get through this, not through a window, not through a door, but the keyhole in your doorway. So make sure you lay down your broom someplace where they can see it. Like the traditional vampire lore of they needed to return to their casket by dawn, a Boohag must return back to their original skin by dawn, or they're rendered powerless. Boohags have other stories about them too. It is said they will not drink blood at all. Some say that a Boohag will sneak into a home, sit on the chest of their victim, and steal their breath away. It is said that when you wake up the following day, and you feel as if you haven't slept at all, you feel weak and fatigued, and short of breath, it is possible that you have been stalked by a Boohag. Now the story goes, once you've been stalked by the Boohag, you have 3 nights to drive this creature away. And how do you drive it away exactly? And how do you know you're being stalked by one? Well, outside of feeling the fatigued and short of breath after a long night, it is said on the first day of the stalking that you may be walking alone and you hear a creature wheezing not too far away from you. And during the first day after you start feeling fatigued, if you hear a rumbling under your floorboards that wasn't there before, chances are you have a Boohag problem. Now, like I said, you only have 3 days to get rid of this thing. And how do you do it? Well, you have 2 chances. And the first one you have the better option with. That is, you get yourself your the broom we talked about, find one with the most bristles you possibly can on it, and leave it by your bed. When the Boohag comes to and you hear something raspily counting, you know you're in the presence of the Boohag. Do not be scared. Instead, annoy her. Try to throw her off her counting game. Make her frustrated. Because the more she gets frustrated and has to recount, the more she'll just want to give up. And after the 3rd day, she will just leave forever. The other thing you can do is try to find the original skin that belonged to the Boohag. It is said that if you can find the original skin, you can throw some salt and pepper on it, rendering it useless for the dawn. And if the Boohag isn't in the protection of its original skin, the Boohag may just perish. But finding that original skin will be close to impossible, as she is said to hide it very securely. The Boohag derives its term from the old bit of folklore known as a hag. Hags are simply defined as a smart, magical woman, often depicted as old and evil. The witch from Hansel and Gretel is a hag. However, not all hag stories are bad, because just like our old friend the Baba Yaga, or the Celtic deity known as the Morgan, they are also depicted as hags. So hag isn't necessarily a good or a bad entity. It could be either or. But definitely in this case, with the Boohag, nothing good's really coming out of that story. And before we wrap up this evening, I just wanted to compare the vampire lore that we know of, especially European vampire lore, to what we know about the Boohag. The first thing I want to go over is the no permission needed rule. In traditional European vampiric lore, we know that a vampire can't just enter your home without permission. That is a very common theme amongst a lot of paranormal entities. They need to have permission. They need to have permission to feed off of you, to kind of possess your body. They need that permission to enter your home. You need to give them something so they can let you give up on your power. And the traditional vampire lore, no different. They can't enter your home. But the boo hag, however, can just sneak in through the keyhole, which makes me want to go and now put some heavy duct tape over my keyhole so no boo hag can get in. The second thing is there's no real written rule on how to kill a boo hag, as simple as it is to kill a vampire. And I use the term simple is because the rules are pretty laid out there. A boo hag, you have to be very lucky in order to find their original skin, which sounds like it would be harder than what it says. And you have to be able to salt and pepper it. Not as easy as just driving a wooden stake through the heart, I'd say. The third thing is, there's no blood like a traditional vampire story. These boo hags are living off of a life force. It's more of like a succubus than it is a vampire. And that in and of itself is a very strange case. I wouldn't really call them a witch unless you buy into the idea that they're a skinwalker. And that is where I'm going to draw my conclusion on what exactly we're dealing with here is. I'm a firm believer that perhaps the boo hag are skinwalkers that have migrated from, let's say, Arizona, the New Mexico area, and wandered their way over to the Gullah people. And the Gullah people, not very familiar with what they have there, they decided to name the skinwalker the boo hag. At least that's my theory. I just want to thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode of Bob After Dark. I want to leave you with the words that the old timers in the Gullah culture would have about the boo hag, and that is, don't let the boo hag ride you. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you guys sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody, and remember the most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost. And of course, as above, so below. Good night, everybody.
Memoriam Development.